Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello and welcome to Backstage Pass, Central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm John Mauer and I'll be moderating this session, where we will be getting on-the-job training with the cast and production crew of Working, the musical, being presented by Playful Theater Productions at the Kelsey Theater in West Windsor, New Jersey. Based on Studs Terkel's best-selling 1974 book of interviews with American workers, this newest version of the Working musical celebrates the lives and contributions of the men and women who are so often overlooked. The school teacher, the parking lot attendant, the waitress, the mill worker, the mason, the trucker, just to name a few. This highly original look at American workers features 26 characters and 14 songs by an all-star list of composers, was adapted for a 90-minute telecast on PBS series American Playhouse, and was nominated for 6 Tony Awards when it originally opened on Broadway in 1978. With me here to talk about the Playful Theater production are director Jared Benn.
Hello.
And musical director Michael Gilch.
Hi there.
And a whole group of actors, which we'll get to in just a moment.
Hey.
Okay, let's start. Jared, why Working? Why did you decide to do that show?
I decided to do Working because I think that one of the things that's missing in musical theater is a sense of relatability. I like audiences to know that they aren't that much different from the people they're seeing on stage. And I think Working really sort of manifests that in its very conception. The idea that these are all people that could very well be sitting in the audience really appealed to me. And I think that anytime an audience can really connect to the people on stage without the actors having to do much sort of work, that really makes for a really effective piece of art.
So there's no witches, there's no superheroes in this one.
This is
real people.
I mean, I consider a mason to be a superhero in a lot of ways, you know, engaging in a skill that really not quite anybody could do, or even an iron worker or a mill worker. I mean, those are things that, when you think about it, require a whole ton, maybe not skill the way we think of skill, but a discipline, a fortitude, a kind of thought process that isn't, I think, an everyday thing. And yet the people that are in the show are just like you and me. They have the same problems, the same joys, the same disappointments, the same wishes, the same dreams, the same hopes, which is, I think, not just the strength of the show, but actually the strength of the book Studs Terkel wrote in 1974. There's these are the people that are running our country, running our world, really.
So this is a salute to the support system of America.
This is a salute to the everyman, the every person, as it were.
Now, this show's been around since 1978, but it's one of those shows that's never been finished. It seems that Schwartz has always been tinkering with it.
Yeah, I think that, there's always a question whether any work of art is ever finished. You know, obviously Picasso's not going to come back from the grave and finish, you know, the Three Musicians or any of his works. But particularly literature and music, you know, I think that to have the chance and the people around who initiated the work to continue to work on it, to refine it, to make it better, that's kind of an advantage, I think, for us as the artists trying to put this up, is that we get to get the most perfect version of it. Not the version that people wish that could have been better, but we get the chance to work on the most perfect version right here, right now. And who knows, 10 years from now, there might be an even more perfect version. And, you know, 10 years from now at Playful Theater Productions, maybe they're doing that version. So lucky for them.
Along with you, your musical director, Michael, tell us something about the music that people will be hearing when they come here.
Well, there are 6 or 7 different composers who worked on this show, and with Stephen Schwartz really revamped the music with each redoing of it. And we have a lot of songs written in different styles that really complement the different characters, make them go against the grain sometimes while they're telling their stories, and just a really vibrant sort of array of different songs. They also added in the most recent reworking of Working that we're doing.
Oh, that's a good one. Reworking of Working. I'll write that down.
I trust that Lin-Manuel Miranda, the composer of the music for In the Heights, has added 2 songs to the show. And the great part about it is that they sound like Lin-Manuel Miranda songs. You know, the James Taylor wrote a few songs for the show, and it sounds like James Taylor music. Each composer only having to write a few songs for the show really did what they do best. It sounds like there's some of their best work. So we really have a lot of wonderful music for these actors to interpret.
Just to add to that, you know, particularly within the in terms of Stephen Schwartz, you know, Stephen Schwartz, this show was written in 1978, and Stephen Schwartz wasn't the Stephen Schwartz that we know today. This isn't the revival of Pippin Stephen Schwartz. This isn't the Wicked Stephen Schwartz. This isn't even the Prince of Egypt Stephen Schwartz. This is 1978, probably just getting his, you know, getting dried off from being a little wet behind the ears, musical theater composer who wants to really do well, Stephen Schwartz. So I think that we see a lot of the sort of beginning of Stephen Schwartz becoming Stephen Schwartz. How many more times can I stay Stephen in this sentence?
Now, because you have so many authors, so many writers putting music into this show, do you consider that to be for a specific reason? I mean, are they trying to give each one of the characters their own voice, their own style? Because each one of the workers is an individual?
You know, you walk a thin line when you do a show about the everyman. You know, it's easy to take a lot of these songs. You know, if you talk yourself about everyday life and what you do for a living, it's not always, you know, the most grandiose conversation of what you're doing 9 to 5.
Well, speak for yourself, please.
I should get into making podcasts, really. But, you know, I think that the sort of vibrant... that cannot be a word. The vibrancy. I was an English major. The vibrancy of the having composers from different walks of life and different styles of music really opens it up. And as I sort of hinted at before, the song style doesn't always match the sort of job or occupation who's singing it. We have a delivery man singing a salsa. We have a waitress, you know, singing and dancing somewhat in a waltz. So it sort of stretches these characters and makes you look at them not only in relation to your own life as this everyman that you see working behind the counter every day, but where it gives you a little bit of where they're coming from too.
Let's talk to the people who are coming somewhere, and that's several of the actors from the show. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Okay, let's open it up. Who wants to talk first? Okay, everybody's looking to Vicky. Vicky, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Vicky Zarnik. I play Woman 2, which is
now,
the
are
character.
You all the even-numbered women, or just Woman 2?
No, Woman 2 is, I guess it's just in the order of singing in the beginning. I'm not really sure why it's Woman 1, 2, and 3, but I'm Woman 2, and I play 4 different characters. So two of my characters just have speaking parts. They just speak about their jobs and what they do, and it's pretty interesting to me, even though it seems like everyday stuff. And then two of them speak and sing songs. So it's kind of how it's laid out.
Is this show a series of monologues and songs? Is there some way that these things are linked together?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, it's not a book musical, so you don't find a story, like a linear story from start to finish. But what you see is snippets of each of the people's lives, and you can think of it as like they're giving interviews about their lives, and each of them sort of intertwines with another. Typically, it's like the first person will be speaking, and then in the setting that they're in. The person who's going to speak right after them or sing right after them is somehow related to what they've just said or something about their own life.
The interconnectivity of the different people who are working.
Right.
Yeah. One of the characters that I play is a teacher. And then at the end of my song, I talk about one of my favorite students who then comes onto the stage and is now a flight attendant. So it's the relationships between and how these characters, these everyday men and women connect.
Okay, and you are Lisa.
I'm Lisa, yes.
Okay, just remember when you first talk, you have to let people know who you are. We've got several other people who are remaining mute at this moment. If only you could see their faces. Don't call on me right now. John, tell us something about what you're doing in the show.
I'd start with my name.
You can, John. John, tell us your name, John.
My name is John Wishney, and I'm playing Man Number 2, and I have a total of 6 different characters, 2 of which have songs and 4 of which have basic monologues kind of thing.
I mean, over and above that, who are these people? Tell us, pick one character. What's your favorite of those characters?
Let's see. They all have their like great moments. Like my first character is a 16-year-old who gets his first job as a delivery guy, and he thinks it's just the best thing in the world. Like he thinks he's the coolest guy. He thinks he's the bee's knees, the cat's pajamas, all that 1930s lingo.
I was going to ask about this because this is a 1978 show.
That's right.
And you're not old enough to even probably be around.
By the look of it, so. But it's been updated in terms of some of the songs.
Yeah. To bee's knees and that kind of thing.
One of my songs says 1922 in the original. Mm-hmm. And now it's 1962, so it moves up and there are different references.
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah,
oh, I'm Fred. Oh, I have to introduce myself. Well, I'm here because I'm not working, so I have time to do work.
That's awesome.
And I play three characters, Mike the iron worker, Eddie the publicist, and Joe the fireman, ex-fireman. And again, that's one of the characters that goes from the ex-fireman speaking to a real fireman doing a monologue.
And who's the real fireman in here?
He's not here.
He's
Bill.
Fighting Bill camps.
Yeah. Or putting out fires.
Yes. So, Hannah, tell us about what you're doing.
I'm Hannah Schaefer, and I play Woman One in the show. And as just like Vicky, I have four characters, two of which have songs and two of which just have the monologues and scenes kind of thing.
Well, what's your favorite one?
Oh, my favorite one.
It's all sit like
that. We'll wait as long as it takes.
I'm trying to think. I actually really like playing Sharon Atkins. She's a receptionist, and I kind of gave her like the My Cousin Vinny accent, and she's really obnoxious.
Oh, I gotta hear it. You have to hear it first now. Tell us about your biological clock. Is it ticking?
Like the deer puts his little nose up to the water. I love that movie.
Wait, are you gonna do it like that in the show? Because
maybe.
Just kidding.
But what specifically about her do you like? Is it just the accent, or is there something about the story you're telling?
It's just so much fun to do because she's talking about how she never thought she'd be a receptionist, and then she's a receptionist, and she has to make the best out of it. And at the same time, another man is talking, Raj, and he also has a very thick accent, and they're
Thank you very much.
They're kind of like talking at the same time about the same things, but in different ways, about how they what they do at work and who they listen to and who they talk to, and it's just really fun to do.
And I think what I love the most about that part too, this is Jared, by the way, hi, that, you know, those two are in completely different worlds, literally. You know, Raj is we assume in India perhaps, and or someplace
somewhere
overseas,
somewhere in the subcontinent,
right? Yeah. And Sharon is clearly in the United States. You know, these are two people in different worlds, and yet they have so many things in common with one another. So many things that they can sort of connect on. If they were to meet for coffee, you know, they could actually talk with some sort of consistency about how their lives are very similar. They'd have something in common. They might connect on a first date. Who knows?
Oh yeah.
Oh, in a moment.
Okay, Lisa, tell us more about what the characters that you're doing.
I play three characters, two of which have a song, and one does not. One is a school teacher who's a little hesitant to move forward with the new ways of teaching, and she's kind of stuck in her ways, I guess. And then the other character that I play is a waitress who just loves to wait tables. She absolutely loves her job and is just thrilled with it, and that's fun to play. I was a waitress for many years back in my 20s.
I was going to say, so. Actors, actresses, waiter, waitress, anyone?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, eventually. Yep. Many. Yeah. I know it's coming.
You're working your way up to that one, I see.
I actually was a delivery guy.
There you go.
About a year.
Right, really? What did you deliver?
Basically just Italian food. And it was awesome because I just answered the phone, took the order, and I went out and drove around, listened to my CDs, and it was just awesome. it was during high school.
See, so now that was the research you had for your delivery man character in this show.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a kind of cool thing because of the characters I have, my first one is a project manager, and I was a project manager for like 6 years, so I relate to that. Then there's a housewife, so I'm not that, but I'm a mom, so I relate to those the things that she talks about. Then I have a prostitute, and I've never been that. And I don't plan to be. So that's fun, too, because it's something that I'll never, ever do. And then there's a cleaning lady, and she's, I think she's my favorite character. She's just really fun and kind of sassy, and I like it.
Can we hear her?
You have to pay for that. You have to come to the show.
Be funny, clown.
Dance,
monkey.
This is Fred. I'm buzzing in. What I really like about this show is that you're never sitting down. Everybody is involved throughout the show. So there's no time sitting backstage, changing costumes. The way it's written, I think we're changing costumes on stage. Mm-hmm. So it's a very busy, active show, and I haven't done a show in 3.5 years, so I hope I'm rested enough.
This is the guy who runs marathons who's worried about feeling rested, being able to get through an hour and a half show. He can run for 4 hours, but can't act for an hour and a half.
That's thinking.
The thing is, you're doing 26 characters with 6 actors.
Yeah.
The memorization, the amount of stress to pull that all off.
Oh, yeah. Talk about how the memorization is going, folks.
It's going.
So I got my first one.
It's going. Yeah. But it's fun, though, because they are different people. And our characters, I think everyone's characters are so vastly different from each other, you know, from the other characters that we play. So it's like it's a joy to become them. It's really... you know, it's fun, and it's kind of exciting to have the opportunity. You know, usually in a show, maybe you're in an ensemble and you get to play a couple different characters when you're in the ensemble, but this is different. This is like really having to delve into each character. So for actors, it's a great opportunity, and I think this is a great piece for actors to be part of and a great piece for actors to come see. Just to kind of observe all the different things that are possible in a piece and how everyday life is art and can be art.
What do you think people who come out and see this show, what they're going to get out of it? When they finish watching the show, they get up at the end, how are they going to feel?
Like they want to work.
I think everybody's going to have their own few favorite characters that they totally identify with.
Yeah, and favorite songs, because there are some really awesome, catchy songs in here. And I think especially actors are going to be like, how come I didn't know this musical before? Mm. That's how I feel. Like, I didn't know it at all until I heard about this from Jared. And, like, I'm so glad that I do now. And I think that's what people will say.
It's a wonderful show for, you know, obviously it's working class people, you know, to come see the show. Like Lisa said, there's certainly one or two characters at least that everyone could relate to. From different walks of life, but for theater people coming to see the show, I think it will be brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, having a cast of 6 play all these characters, you're stripping the cast down to bare bones, and you really get to see, you know, Vicky is woman too, but the different women that her character plays, you would not expect one cast member to be playing these different kinds.
Right.
You know, the prostitute and the housewife are the same person in different clothing. And we get to see her change on stage, you know, like
that in a movie of the week? Okay, so, Jared.
Yes.
What does Playful have coming up later in the season?
Well, the greatest musical ever made for the American stage. You probably heard of it. It's called Les Miserables? Yes, Les Miserables, right, yes. Les Miserables opens the first week of April? Last week of March, Les Miserables is coming up, and it's going to be big and wonderful, and tons of people are going to come out and audition for it, and it's, I have no doubt, between the production team and the numerous people they'll have choices of casting, it's going to be really, really spectacular.
And for those of you who'd like to see a performance of Working the Musical, it will be at the Kelsey Theater on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College and will begin on November 1st and run through November 10th. Tickets are $20 with discounts for seniors and students. Go to
www.kelsey@mccc.org or call 609-570-3333 for further information and reservations. I want to thank my guests, Jared, Michael, John, Fred, Hannah, Vicky, and Lisa. Got you all in there.
Hey, thank you, John.
All 26 of us.
Come see working. It'll be great.
For Backstage Pass, I'm John Maurer. Thanks for listening.